Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action on a horrid day in Manchester. Could it be a horrid evening as well? It's Chelsea arrive at Old Trafford for a 5:30 kickoff in what will be pouring rain. It's just before 4 o'clock and it's lashing it down here in Manchester, but Manchester United have bigger problems than that. A poor start to the season, and they need to start to improve as soon as possible. There is pressure on the manager. We are back in the doom loop. One bad result, this guy could be sacked. It's as simple as that. Remember, Servat, he made the decision to get rid of Erik ten Hag after that West Ham game. He can talk about the football people. He's lying, because that is what he does. He's a top businessman, and top business people do that. Although I'm sure Servat would say that he was just being, you know, careful with the truth, you know, just sort of, you know, jumping around the bases. So the pressure on the manager, the pressure on the players is going to be high, but you are playing for Manchester United, so that is the case. Obviously questions to the manager this week around his formation and whether he will change. He is not going to change his formation. He's going to live or die on his own sword. He's not going to change things. You would hope that journalists in the media would just sort of move on from that, because it's pretty clear now, and ask him some of the questions. If he does get sacked, then you'll have the moral high ground. So I think we need to move away from that. I think we've got to look at and focus on who he's picking, what the players that he's picking are doing, and whether they're able to do the job. As I've said for a long time, if the manager is sacked, he's still not the biggest problem at this football club. The biggest problem are, well, we know it's the owners, but mainly it's more the people running the football club, then the players, then the manager. They're the people that chose Ruben Amorim. They're the people that would have been told, this is how I play, this is what I want to do. He didn't want to join in November, but obviously he was told he had to. Or was it October? So that they will, if they get rid of him, then this, and it may get to the point where they have to, because the results are not up to the standard that they want, then they have to look at themselves and the decisions that they're making. And as I've said, and I've said this on the pod before, since Ineos have come in, United have gone backwards. Now they have to take some responsibility for that. Obviously the manager, obviously, and as we know, the players, which I've called out for a number of years, but they still seem to be getting away with murder, especially by pundits who are their friends, which is how it tends to be. The team news is coming out in 15 minutes. I'm going to sneak to the local supermarket for some shelter, because it's absolutely lashing it down. It's even more, the rain is getting heavier, puddles are building up. I mean, could the game get cancelled? I doubt it, because the drainage in football pitches is outstanding these days. And let's be honest, Manchester United need to be playing games. They've only got one game a week, as I mentioned last week. You lose a game, things can fester. You don't have a game in midweek. You don't have a game in midweek where maybe you could, you know, take a little bit of pressure off. No, it's a whole week build up, and then you get to the point of playing the game, and then the team's picked, and then the team needs to perform. As I say, I'm going to get a little bit of shelter. I will be back pre-match with the team news. Team news is in. Team as follows. I don't know how the back five is going to line up, but Yoro has been, well, dropped, you'd have to say. So it's you'd probably think that Lee McGuire and Shaw possibly is the three, with Dorgu and Mazraoui as the wide putters, although there's some talk of maybe Shaw being on the left, Dorgu on the right, and then Mazraoui as one of the three. So that's the five. The two midfield are Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. The two tens are Ahmad and Brian Mbeumo, with Sesko up front, Bayindé in goal. Cunha and Mount both back on the bench. So that's the team that's playing tonight. I think it's a team that will not all fans will necessarily be happy about, but again, it's all about that team being put on the pitch and doing their jobs and performing well. And I think this is, you know, if the result doesn't go the way that the manager wants, then he's putting himself under pressure in that regard, because the players that have managed to stay in the team after that Manchester derby shambles, you would think that you would maybe look to other players to play in those positions. But that's the team that's playing. Let's see how the team gets on. I just want to speak sort of briefly around the financial results that came in this week. We've talked about record revenues. Don't believe all that garbage. It's just PR guff from the people that run this football club. This club is in financial strife, with £1 billion taken out by scum parasite Glazers, who sadly Sir Rat is in cahoots with, from what I see. And by that I mean he doesn't seem to it doesn't seem to be someone that actually knows what he's doing when you're running a football club. And then fair play, he put the money into the training ground that needed to be put in, but I just see that as the Glazers have done him over, because the Glazers have not bothered to do anything with the training ground. Or we'll get a patsy like Sir Rat to come in and do it, and he has done it. And I think Sir Rat is sadly, he's looking like a bit of a fool. He is an outstanding businessman, but he's been in football for quite some time, and none of his football teams have been any good, let's be perfectly honest, and they've actually gone backwards under him, and it seems to be happening again. So we'll see how the game goes. I'm going to wander over, at least I'm semi-dry now, we're about to go back into that weather and to watch United hopefully get some kind of result. We may have a bit of Dennis later possibly. He was at Anfield earlier, Liverpool 1-2-1. He didn't sound too happy on the messaging, but I'm sure deep down he is in some way as well. He couldn't lose today, really, could he? He probably wanted a draw, but anyway, I will be back post the match. So it's game over at Old Trafford. It finished Manchester United 2, Chelsea 1. A huge result for Manchester United in a game that had all sorts going on in it. And it sort of showed to me personally that all the talk about the system actually means Jack Jones, basically nothing. And players on the pitch stepping up to the plate and basically doing their best to match that Manchester United should have won absolutely comfortably. Sometimes you think go your way. Something did go their way. Early on, Rob Sanchez send off. It was a clear sending off. Nice little flick on from Tesco, and then Mbeumo ran on. It took him at the knees. Clear red card, off you go. So United already in a situation where they're a man above. Maresca obviously has to make some substitutes. Neto comes off, and so does Estevalo Willian, who would have been a massive issue for Manchester United with his pace through that midfield. He went off, and on came Tosin and the goalkeeper Jorgensen. Soon after, United took the lead. Bruno Fernandes, header across from Dorgu. Fernandes running into the box. Far check. But thankfully, Chalabar's, I think it was his right leg, kept him onside. And then United got themselves 2-0 up. Again, a ball into Dorgu. Well, a ball into Dorgu at the back post. He got a head across. Chelsea didn't actually deal with it. And then Luke Shaw with a towering header. The Casemiro at the back post. Casemiro had already been booked. But there were a couple of times when Chelsea, even with 10 men, had sort of, they passed around Manchester United, but most teams pretty much do that. But then Casemiro got himself sent off. It was a harsh yellow card, but the point is, Casemiro's experienced player on a yellow card. He did hold a player back in United's final third, Andre Santos. He would have fitted him well into Manchester United's midfield. I can tell you that now. He can actually run, tackle and pass. And then Casemiro sent off. I think it's ridiculous the fact that you know, a player of that experience gets sent off. And that's the reason why, you know, a lot of people have question marks over the team. Why is Casemiro starting? If he is going to start, he needs to do the basics and not get himself caught out in certain situations. He was caught in that position because he was too slow. He was too far forward. As I say, United in complete control in my mind at that point was like, we could win this at least 3-0. And then at least get our goal difference back to zero. But 10 men against 10 men. Chelsea finished that first half strongly. Then into the second half, the rain was absolutely smashing it down. There were splashes on the ground with the ball. You could see the water going up. And it made for a bit of a farce for the first sort of 20, 25 minutes of that second half. But ladies, the better football inside came out, and Chelsea, I wouldn't say dominated the game, but they had more of the ball in the possession, the more dangerous game. United, to be fair, they managed the game quite well without necessarily looking massively dangerous. I mean, I thought Ahmad had a low-key, excellent game in there. As I say, the formations matched each other. Both sides had three at the back. And as I say, this isn't about formation. It's about players on the pitch stepping up. But then Chelsea did get a goal back in the last, just before the final 10 minutes. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is what absolutely agitates me. Call out the manager. Question his tactics, that's fine. But this was about players on the pitch. Chelsea had a corner. It was clear I was at the other end of the pitch. I'm shouting 2v1, 2v1. They took a 2v1. They crossed it in. The United managed to clear the ball. But then eventually came out for another corner within a minute. Same again. I'm pointing. My friend Harry next to me is pointing 2v1. They do exactly the same again. Crossover, Chalobah free header. 2-1. Absolutely shambolic. No leadership, no idea on that pitch at that time. People can say, oh, well, he took off Harry Maguire, he's there for the headers. Harry Maguire was taken off because he was playing poorly. He gave the ball away in a really bad position. I mean, as I say, I still go back to last week. Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire pissing around with the ball on the edge of the on the halfway line, allowing Erling Haaland to do whatever, City not pressing, and they give the ball away. Let me tell you now, if that's De Ligt and Yoro, oh, they're not the right nationality, so we'll hammer them for a week. Shocking from both of them. They were lucky to even start today's game. But he was taken off. United just nowhere. But it wasn't about the cross. It was about the fact they allowed Chelsea to get further 2-for-1. So United, they're in the nervous times because they're weak mentality. They don't know how to deal with this situation, which is an embarrassment. But it's easy to just blame the manager for that. But actually, it's the players on the pitch lead the team. Bruno Fernandes does a fantastic run, shot, good save from Jorgensen. To be honest, watching it back, it's basically just a basic save. It was great play from Bruno Fernandes, but it was never going to be a goal because he shot into a position where you could easily save it. We talk about, oh, look what he's done now. Look what he's done there. So United have given away a ridiculous goal. It should be about a team managing that situation even before they went down to the men. They managed it before the rain stopped, but it seemed that when the rain stopped and actually proper football came into being, then it was a case of, we can't manage the game properly. And then Chelsea did have an opportunity towards the end. The ball's out to reach James. That's clearly their man to target the door to Luke Channel to reach his position. He managed to get across in his stoppage time. Bandeir got the ball away, and then it was a block by Ugarte. I think it was from Andre Santos, as I say, would walk into our midfield. Any team would walk into our midfield. Even when Jorgensen came on, you're thinking, it doesn't matter that Sanchez has gone off. Their goalkeepers are better than ours anyway. And then United managed to hold on. Bruno Fernandes was actually subbed at one point in the game, which was a surprise, but it was probably just absolutely shattered. But United held on. They got the 2-1 victory, which is a massive win for the football club. It's a massive win for the manager. It's a massive win because United need to be getting points. But if anybody thinks, you know, that win was done because of how Manchester United necessarily played, it was done because everything essentially went their way. And they even somehow managed to try and throw it away by Casemiro ridiculously getting himself sent off. Poor play. Yeah, it is harsh. But the referee, he was desperate to get the second yellow card out. But why is Casemiro putting himself in that position? And United, basically, as I say, start of the second half, they were fine when the weather was inclement. But towards the end, Chelsea were pushing. And as I say, this had nothing to do with Amorim's tactics. This had to do with players on the pitch. They're down to 10 men. We're playing in the same way. So we had 11v10, playing in the same way, got themselves 2-0 up. So you could easily argue that, oh, well, the tactics actually did work. But for me, this is about players 11v10. I mean, Maresca made a lot of substitutions. I mean, Cole Palmer wasn't on the pitch after 20 minutes. Yeah, he had to go off for a so-called injury. But who knows what was going on there. But You know, sort it out, but there's still massive, massive issues at that football club. We can celebrate the win, that's fine. But if this football club wants to actually achieve anything, it's got a lot of work that needs to happen. There's a lot of talk. Harry Maguire's 250th appearance. Bruno Fernandes' 200th appearance. Do you know what? I have zero interest. I want to actually see a football team that actually playing as a team, football team that actually knows what it's doing, has a way of playing as a tactical style. Chelsea with 10 men, you knew exactly what they were trying to do to break down Manchester United. And then obviously 10v10, you knew that even more. It's just obviously 11v10. United always had a player in position. If that was 11v11 for the whole game and Sanchez hadn't done something stupid and reckless, do Manchester United fans really think they would have won that game 2-1 playing the way that they did? I personally doubt it. But sometimes you have to get over the line. And to be fair, the creator has a message about the tactics at the start. He sent a message saying we will still win this affair later. Because at the start of the game, you are questioning what decisions of the manager for the starting 11. I think you can 100% question Casemiro. I mean, this is a player that's not even going to be at the football club next season, but he's just needed, and we've had to use him because nobody's going to pay his ridiculous wages. He'll be suspended against Brentford next week, and that is a massive football match. If you're Brentford watching that game, you're thinking to yourself, we just need to keep 11 players on the pitch, and we've got a good chance against this lot. So it'll be interesting to see. I was disappointed for Sesko at the he was taken off at half time for Ugarte. A substitution had to happen. So interesting to see who came off. It was Sesko. Thanks, Casemiro. Absolutely ridiculous. We need Sesko to be getting goals. We need a striker through that middle. Mount and Cunha are back. Is the manager going to go back to playing Mount and Cunha? We shall see what happens with that. But, you know, a huge win for Manchester United. And, you know, they're seventh. I think they started the match fourth from bottom because I was looking at the table, but they've actually pushed themselves up. I think they're in the top half of the table now, I think, which is mad because we're garbage, to be perfectly honest, and a lot of work needs to be done. I've not seen anything that the manager has said post-match, but he will know where the problems lie. He will know. And he has to do work himself, but those players, they will get a manager. The manager can sack himself, and some people say he's sacking himself with the starting 11. But those players will get a manager sacked just because they think, oh, I can't be bothered. As I say, watch that West Ham game last season. Liverpool went there a few weeks later, won 5-0, I think it was, or 5-1. But if United had taken their chances, they would have won 5-1 as well. Because West Ham last season were garbage. They've not been very good this season. I mean, West Ham beat Man United twice last season. Home and away. And, you know, people will take the celebration from tonight. That's fine. Celebrate the victory. But there's so much work that has to be done. And it's not just on the pitch. It's off the pitch as well. This football club is an absolute joke. An absolute joke. And it's still, football is not the priority at that football club. I mean, Jason Wilcott's doing an interview saying there were lots of issues on the football side. No shit, Sherlock. And it's me swearing today and not Dennis. I was actually out with Dennis before. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk or on various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global and it will come up. Next up, Brentford away. It's the early kickoff on the Saturday. I am up in Newcastle on a jolly. So hopefully I will be going on this jolly in good spirits after I get a really early train to Newcastle to make sure I get there for the kickoff and then to the hotel, then let the jollying begin. And I'm hoping I've got a smile on my face when the jolly begins. Ryder Cup as well. So I'll be dipping into that. But as always, thanks for listening. And I will be back next Saturday. As I say, the pub will come probably soon after the game because I may not be in the state for 2 days to actually do anything constructive. So Yeah, let's hope I've got a big smile on my face come 2:30 or maybe 2:45, depending on the add-on time. There was 9 today in the first half against Brentford. That is huge for Manchester United. Every game is huge for Manchester United. You have to take the 3 points, you take the positives, but they need to continue to win football matches. And as I say, Brentford next week is a massive, massive game. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back next Saturday after the Brentford match.